Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I cannot make a world and hold it in my hand. I cannot make the lightning flash across the land. I cannot take a piece of clay and mold it into man. But I have a Father. I have a Father who can. Now he sits high, and he looks low, and he guides my feet wherever I go. When I don't understand, I have a Father. I have a Father. I cannot make a cloud and send it in the sky. I cannot love humanity so much that I would die. I cannot even name the stars or count the grains of sand. But I have a Father. I have a Father who he sits high, and he looks low, and he guides my feet wherever I go. When I don't understand, I have a Father. I have a Father who can. Now he sits high, and he looks low. I have a Father. I have a Father. I have a Father. I have a Father.
I have a Father who can.
Hello again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Certainly thankful to be able to come back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that we might come this way, try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate all who tune in, and certainly so thankful for your prayers. I ask you to pray for us, pray for this work. We pray, ask you to pray that the Lord would take it and use it in such a way that He knows would truly be beneficial to everyone who that has time and opportunity to hear it. That the things that are brought forth from this place and in this way, that they would truly be that would be eternally beneficial to those who that hear it. You never know, as we journey through life, when someone might have the opportunity to come across and interact with this type of a message as it is brought forward. And we just trust that as the Lord has led us to come this way and to try to address these points, that I just trust that He has a reason and has a intent that is good and right. And so it just comes to us to try to do our feeble little part of it, knowing that if it's anything good that's accomplished out of it, that it'll be God who has to give the increase. I think about where the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It's recorded over in the 1 Corinthian letter, where that he referred to the work that he had been involved in, and another preacher by the name of Apollos. He said that Paul said that he had sown and Apollos had watered, but it was God who gave the increase. And what he brought from that, or his conclusion because of that being the case, was that then the one who that had sown and the one who had watered, that they really were nothing in the matter then, because they had just simply sown and the other one watered, but God gave the increase. So it all came down to God as the one who had the most important role in this work. So pray indeed that we would do our small part, realizing that it'll be God who does the great parts. We've been trying to study along some thoughts tied to what's sometimes referred to as articles of faith. We are taking up the second article, and this is actually the second part of this article. Those who that would like to consider previous messages, previous thoughts, you can do so from the website, which is associated with this work, that's given at the end of the broadcast, but I give it now as well. It's called FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. It's FisherOfMenBaptistic. It's like Baptist with the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. And at that place, under Articles of Faith, you find resources of written material. Also, there are sermons. And then, with the Lord willing, though, in the future, there will also be some Bible studies tying to these same articles. So all of that information that you find there is absolutely free of charge. It's provided that any who that would consider it and might prayerfully consider it, it's there provided free of charge for your use. And hopefully if it's on your heart and you'd like to share it with others, feel free to do that as well. Yeah, it's there to just try to spread the truth as it is found in God's Word, and glad to be able to provide that resource. So feel free to use that ever how that you feel that you should. We want to go to the Lord in prayer, and after we pray, we'll try to take up this these thoughts that are on our heart today as we do consider this second article. If you'd like to join with us, then let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful to have thus another opportunity that we might come forth into a day that we know that you've allowed us to come forth into. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your long-suffering. Knowing, Father, we come so short in so many ways, pray you'd forgive us our sins. Help us as people to have our hearts stirred up and our eyes lifted unto the great work of God. Forgive us where way too often we pursue life's journey without any consideration of what the will of Thee, our God, is. Help us, Lord, that we might ever adhere to the great will of God. Deliver us from those things which that would distract or annoy or hinder. Help us, Lord, that we would be such as through the things that you guide us and strengthen us to do, that they'd bring glory unto your name. We pray, Lord, again for those who are sad and lonely, that you would bless those who are troubled and oppressed. We pray mainly for the lost, knowing they have the worst condition of all. And we pray, Lord, that something might be said or done to help lost souls to see their need and to look toward Thee, our God, and find all their needs provided in Christ Jesus. We pray again that you strengthen us as we come along life's journey, that the marks of our days would be marks of wisdom and understanding that come from God, and that the things that are done would be done in consideration and careful consideration of those about us, and knowing, Father, that your great and holy divine nature is that which that you want to bring all men and women into. Help us, Lord, to be found with that nature about us. I pray, God, for this work, that you would take it and use it, knowing that the great purpose of God, yea, the great eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus, is that which is good and right. Help us then, Lord, to be found walking closely therein and doing those things under the leadership of your own hand, knowing that that's where the most good will be done. Pray, Lord, for our nation, government, not only on the local level, but at the state and federal levels as well. Knowing, Father, that there's no power but that comes from Thee, our Father. Help us then that in the actions of our days and those things that we support, that they would be the things which that conform to your great and holy will. We know we fail to ask many things, Father, but ask that you would grant, for we seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus, and for his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We took up previously an article relating to the true God. And as we took up that article, we took up the first part of the article, and I'm going to read it again just to refresh our memory. And as we read through the article, realize that what we're saying is we'd explained previously, that articles of faith are that's presented not as a substitute for the Scriptures, but as this is what we believe the Scriptures teach. And in saying such a thing, we believe this is the truth, that when you study the Scriptures, and as you consider it carefully, going through the Scriptures, harmonizing it, let the Bible just say what it says, that there are certain conclusions that you have to make. And in the basics of these articles is just that. This is what we believe the Bible teaches. And we offer it for your consideration. Study it. Study it prayerfully. Take it up with God. And trust that He's not going to lead us astray. So in this second article, it relates to the true God. And it reads this way. We believe that there is one and only one living and true God, an infinite, intelligent spirit, whose name is Jehovah, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth. Inexpressibly glorious in holiness, and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love, that in the unity of the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, equal in every divine perfection, in executing distinct but harmonious offices in the great work of redemption. We are on the second part of this article, and the second part of this article, speaking of God, which previously then we took up that God is indeed, there's only one God. He is infinite. He is an intelligent spirit whose name alone is Jehovah, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth. That was addressed in the previous part, or previous address. In this section, we'd like to take up that, speaking of God, that He is indeed inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. To establish our thoughts, we'd like to read out of Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, we'll start reading with the first verse. And here, as we consider these thoughts, we are considering a portion of Scriptures, which that as God has revealed unto us and had it recorded in the Bible, in His revelation of Himself, He helps us to see what we've just said about His nature, that He is indeed inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. So let's read from Isaiah chapter 6, a few verses of Scripture, and then take some thoughts and might proceed through some other Scriptures just as time might allow. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. With the mistakes we may have made in reading, this gives us a brief reading lesson out of Isaiah chapter 6. I've read from the first down through the eighth verse. In these verses, I notice that the Scriptures here tell us of what that Isaiah experienced as he was on this occasion allowed to see right into heaven itself, see the heavenly scene. And as he beheld this heavenly scene, we read about such creatures as are named here, seraphims. Later in the book of Revelation, we also read of the cherubim, these angelic hosts, angelic creatures, dwelling right in the very presence of God Himself. We notice after being described for us, and that we have not only their description by their appearance, but we also have it described for us how they react being in the presence of God, and how that being in God's physical presence, that is, in the presence of His person, the impact it has upon these mighty angelic creatures. We have that told to us, shared with us, that they declare, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. That this declaration would be made of those who dwell in the presence of God helps us to get a glance. Maybe it's not a crystal clear picture, but it is a glance at how that in the presence of God our Maker, the Almighty, that even in the presence of His being, there is a feeling, an impression that is left upon those who are in His presence. That such is His own character, the brilliance and the overwhelming power of His very presence is such that this impression causes those in his presence to react as these creatures do. Holy, 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 they say. And as they cry this out, speaking this, they let it be known that the whole earth is full of His glory. And you know, there are just different times. It really doesn't matter where you're at in the world. And in my life, I have been at different positions that I have held. I have traveled the world, and I've been in the deepest areas of jungles, and I've been out on in the desert areas. I've been where that there is farmland and country, where that the land is very hilly, where the land is very flat. And you know, in all those different places, in those times when it you stop and you behold the scenes about you, just from the very earth itself, in these different places, there is something there that lets you know, wheresoever that you're at, that indeed God is close at hand, that the earth itself is not of itself. It just didn't come into existence under its own will, but it was made. There's a system, there's a design, and it speaks of the glory of the One who that designed it and put it into place. So I agree, and I think that these creatures tell us what that we all know when we stop and consider creation itself, that indeed the whole earth is full of the glory of God. I come down and I notice how that this man Isaiah, a man who was a religious man, one who, when you read of his life, he's one of those who that was the genuine article. He was genuine in his belief, in his practice, his belief, his actions, that they held true. And such people are those who that when they speak about God and they let you know about God, you have confidence in what they're saying because their character aligns with their beliefs. And it's obvious that God's hand is upon them so that the things they're speaking are not of themselves, but there's a higher one than they who are directing and strengthening them and holding them up. And this man, having this heavenly scene revealed before his own eyes, how did this impress him? We've dwelt upon how that this angelic host, how impressed they are with the brilliance of being in the very person of God and the impact it had upon them and what they say as they're there in his presence. But now what of this man who we would call a godly man? It says, when he saw this scene, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What became apparent to this man, Isaiah, was his own shortcomings, his own faults, his own sin, the weakness of his own being, that indeed, we as men and women, we are of the fallen race. And because of our fallen condition, we need redemption and stand in need of forgiveness of sin. Isaiah had this impression upon himself, being in the very person of God, being in the presence of the person of God. His fallacies, his weakness, his shortcomings came clearly to his attention in light of the very presence of God. And oh, how he responded. And I just noticed this as well, that God did not want to leave Isaiah in that condition, and he already had something prepared. And one of the angelic hosts came and laid this living coal upon his lips, and he let it be known that his sin was purged. I noticed that it takes God to purge sins, that God has something prepared to purge our sins. And when this man acknowledged all his own condition, acknowledged it in light of him being in the very presence of God, when the truth, as God has manifestly established it forever, when that brilliance of that truth comes to our hearts, and we see our own shortcomings and we surrender unto God, I believe God has something prepared for each and every one of us that we can have our sin purged. I know for certain. He lets us know He's not a respecter of persons. That is, He treats all alike, and I know for myself, when I came that way, nobody had to tell me God had saved my soul and purged my sins. He did that immediately and for Himself and let me know directly. And that's the only kind that you can have any confidence in, the kind that God lets you know for yourself that you have. We'll turn to Revelation 4 and read some scriptures as well, helping us see a similar thought. It says that when that John had the door in heaven opened, that he had this scene that was revealed before him, and I'm reading out of Revelation 4. And in verse 8, four beasts, each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We find here again this same revelation, this same scene, what Isaiah beheld, so also did John behold, the creatures dwelling right in the very presence of God, the impact of the very power of His own being, of His attributes, caused those in His presence to come forth and cry out loud, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I notice that the holiness of God is something that is without question of those who that are in His presence. And I notice that the elders, the truly the honorable among men, the honorable of mankind in His presence, when that this declaration is made, this chanting of the holiness of God and the worthiness of worshiping Him, how that they kneel down and cast their crowns before the throne, saying this very thing, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So, even the most honorable among men in this presence, hearing this chant, this declaration of the nature of God and the worthiness of His attributes, they, when they hear such things, submit themselves in firm agreement of what that is being stated. And saying this, that Thou hast created all things, God is acknowledged as the Maker, the Almighty, and that for His pleasure, everything that's created is in existence. For His pleasure, they are in existence, and for the pleasure of God, they were created. And knowing the nature of God, and knowing the virtue of His attributes, when it says things were created to please God for His pleasure, remember that God is love. Remember that God is good. Remember that God, He loves truth. He loves truth and mercy. God will not just turn loose of those that are guilty, but will hold us to the truth, mercifully holding us to the truth that we might repent. But if we won't repent, just as those who that we know are guilty in things which that when we see them done, especially if they are done to ourselves, we understand that there is a need for an execution of judgment. Something though that is right and that is suitable unto the crime that was committed, unto that which was inflicted. And God assures us this is in His character, meeting out justice that is absolutely a match to that for which that has been committed. So when we hear this honorable mention of you're worthy of this honor and glory and praise, you're worthy of these things because all things are in existence because it pleases you, and for your pleasure they stay in existence, And for that very reason were they created. And understanding the nature of God, it affirms the great goodness in God for bringing all things into existence. I think about Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. The Lord, I'm gonna skip a verse, verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. This psalm is yet another declaration of the great goodness of God, the goodness of the one who brought all things into existence, the goodness of the one who that created all things and sustains all things, and now because it meets his pleasure, and the great attributes of this one, letting us know that he is good, and that he, like when the Lord, when one came to him and called him good master, the Lord himself said, there is none, why call you me good? There is none good but God. So that when we talk about the goodness of God, it's truly a good that exceeds anything that can be measured and called good, because it is God alone who meets that standard of being good. And this psalm helps us see again that the Lord indeed, he's good to all. He is, his tender mercies are over all his works. He upholds those that fall. He raises up those that are bowed down. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God is nigh to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. With these things that we have shared from Isaiah, from the Revelation, from here in the book of Psalms, we conclude that indeed this article of faith, that this portion of this article of faith is verified in the Scriptures about the nature of the true God. That he is indeed inexpressibly glorious in holiness, as revealed by that has to be uttered, that's found on the very lips of those who dwell in his presence, that indeed God is inexpressibly glorious in holiness. More than that, that he is worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. He is worthy of it, as indeed he has made us for his own pleasure, and that pleasure is good by virtue of his own nature. And that he is worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. So that when we read in the Scriptures, out of such places as Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, that it makes sense that we say, amen. He is worthy of this type of love, the type of love that comes from all of our heart, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strengths. There would not be in us without the will of God allowing there to be in us. And the good that we experience, the good that we behold, we realize that this goodness, that it stems and comes from God. It's been our message. Hope something's been helpful, that something that has been brought forth has indeed been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for that. It's to him we look for guidance and direction. Hope that this touching upon these points, that they are bringing information to your heart and your mind that is uplifting. If so, thank the Lord for that. As we try to take up these articles of faith, and good Lord willing, we'll try to continue on, take up these next sections of this same article in the days to come. Thank you again for tuning in. Pray for us. We'll be careful to pray for you as well.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.